one passage in the book of Esther 4 and 14. I want to also send out a shout out to all those that will be graduating next week. Did any graduate yesterday? Okay. Next week and the week after. One, I want to send a shout out to you, but she's on the stage, and she will be receiving her MD. So put your hands together. That's an awesome thing. We're excited for a couple reasons. One, she loves the Lord a bunch, and then she's going to, I always like to have praying doctors laying hands on us. If they're going to cut you, pray for me first. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And her grandfather's a professional musician, and he's going to be with us the weekend of the graduation. And her grandfather, her, and her brother, they're going to do a special selection for us, too. So we're looking forward to that. And I am. I don't say too much about, because I know she don't want me to say nothing, but I better not say nothing about the saxophone, the lady that plays the saxophone. But don't look at her. But she is a blessing, and we think the world of her. This is her third year in school. Well, we're going to move on. And David and, I can't stay, but I'm not saying something about the fellas. David and Kenny on keys, Kenny Keys. Nothing like Chili in the house. And Dion, we love you, boy, on the drums. God, let's give them all a good one more time. Esther 4 and 14 reads like this. It says, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place." In other words, just because you don't open your mouth, it doesn't mean that I'm not going to do what I want to do in this hour. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position. Help me out for such a time as this. I want to talk about positioned for such a time as this as we pray. Father, thank you so much for your love and kindness and all that you do for us. Father, I know that no one is here by happenstance or accident, but God, you have a plan and a purpose for everyone that is here and all those that are listening even online. I pray, God, that you bless, that you send something that changes lives. And God, we give you glory. Thank you for your presence. And because, as the psalmist says, your loving kindness is better than life. And we embrace it, God. We embrace it. Thank you for just taking your abode in our service, in our hearts. So have your way. May somebody leave changed. That is our desire. And we ask it and decree it in Jesus' name. And those that agree with that prayer, won't you just say amen and give him one more time a good praise because he's God. Hallelujah. 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 Today we celebrate important women of faith in our lives. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing. Next week, don't forget, is Mother's Day. And this month we've decided to, again, celebrate all of the women of faith. And there's probably a woman of faith around you. So do me a favor and put your hands together for all the women of faith in the house. Give them a good God bless you. Of course, when I talk about women of faith, it talks about and the importance of women. It reminds me of a story that I sometimes tell about the governor's wife, and this service station attendant. When the governor and his was riding in his limousine being chauffeured, they come up to a service station. And some of you all don't really even know what service stations are now. You used to didn't have to pump your own gas. But you had people come out, wipe your windshield, and, you know, check your oil and all that stuff. And they would do actual service to make sure you're okay. But they came to this particular service station, and this service station attendant was giving the governor's wife the eye. He was checking her out, like, you know, like, I know you, that kind of look. And then the governor later on said, "Hey, why is that guy looking at you like that?" And then she looked at him and says, "Well, you know, I almost married him." And then the governor looked at that dirty guy with all the oil and grease on him. He looked at her and said, well, I know you're glad you married me. And then she looked at him as she threw her fur over her shoulder and cleaned off her nails. She said, if I hadn't married him, he would be the governor. So women impact our lives. I'm glad Jita married me, or I don't know who would be your pastor. I absolutely don't know that. Women have been amazing in life. Women have been amazing in this local church. Why do you say that? Because do you not know that I didn't come up with the name Abundant Faith? There was a woman that came up with the name. My own wife came up with it. The first building that we were in, a woman named Jackie was a part of our church, and she says, I found a building. This is God's place for us. That's the place we moved in. The woman that prophesied, Mother Janice Bowie, when I was somewhere else, she says, you're going to be my pastor. Sitting right there, and I was like saying, no, you are wrong. I ain't going to pastor no church. And she prophesied over my life, and on the first day of service, she sit on the front row just so she could eye contact with me. I told you was going to be my pastor. She prophesied over my life. Another woman named Mother Pittman, she was the one that said, write the vision and make it plain. So can I let you know that women have been so important? And I think of Linda Tribbett and Janet, Linda Tribbett and Jeanette, and how on the first couple of weeks that we opened, that they came in and said, I see what God is doing. I didn't see it at the time, but they cast vision and stood in agreement and prayed. Can I let you know that women should be applauded all over the world, especially the women of faith? Give them another hand praise. We appreciate you. We appreciate you and all that you do behind the scenes. And I even want to thank God for those mothers that raise your children. I was watching a show not long, just last night actually, and it talked about that in certain countries that those women have a year off just to raise their children and spend with those children to develop those children, because it's so important for that mother to be in connection with them, and they paid them while they were off. I said, that sounds like a good idea. That sounds like a good idea. I don't know what it's going to take to get it going, but man, that sounds like a good idea, because these kids need their moms. Can they get a witness? Give God another praise in this place. So with that being said, today we're going to be talking about someone that's really special to me. It's kind of a story, a rags to riches, and I kind of like those stories. It's kind of this is where it used to be, but this is what God did and how he stepped in. You know, it's kind of one of those, and I didn't used to know too much about, you know, princesses and queens and stuff like that. I really didn't, because I had three boys, and they didn't like watching that kind of stuff. Thank God they didn't. Hallelujah. But after I have four granddaughters, and I think they run Pawpaw, but they really don't. Pawpaw's handling business. But on occasions, they will say, hey, I want you to watch this show with me. And I'll watch shows like Moana. Did I say it right? Moana, Jasmine, she's a princess, Cinderella. And I even on occasions, believe it or not, don't tell everybody, but they'll take me to the computer and say, we want you to help us play with Barbie.com online and dress the girls. But don't tell everybody that. But I'm just saying, with granddaughters, you'll go places. And there's something about royalty. It's something about going from nothing to something. And especially in the time you didn't have anything, and you're believing God for something. And this particular story blesses me because, you know, Hadassah, who is actually, you know, if you will, we call her Esther, and I'm kind of stay away from that. Nah, I shouldn't say stay away from it. I had some kind of thoughts about the name Esther, because when I think of Esther, I think of, you know, Sanford and Son and Aunt Esther. But this Esther was beautiful. This Esther was drop dead gorgeous. And at this particular time, she had challenges, because sometimes people think that all your life, everything goes just right. But her parents died when she was young, the Bible tells us, and she was an orphan. She was one that needed someone to come into her life. And understand, if I can just draw the backdrop of this particular story, is that, you know, this is 100 years after the Babylonian exile. So some of the Jews went back to Israel and Jerusalem, like Ezra and Nehemiah. But Mordecai and also Esther or Hadassah, her Jewish name, they stayed in Persia, a place called Susa. And there was something that was taking place that the king was flexing his muscles. He had conquered many things. The Persian army was very strong. And he had a party, a huge party, a back-to-back party. And this wasn't just a couple-hour party. This wasn't just like a couple of days. It was a 187-day party. And the party was about his splendor. It was all about him, how I am amazing, and so forth. Have you ever had anybody that had a party about themselves? Don't look around, bless God. But at any rate, he was partying about himself. And at that time, the end of the party, he was kind of drunk. Not kind of, he was really drunk. And he had been filling himself and maybe more of this, more of that, gorging himself with all kind of food, all kind of wine. And at the end of it, he wanted to do a finale. So he wanted to do something really major. So he calls his wife, the queen at the time. Her name was Vashti. She was beautiful as well. And he calls her and he says, at the end of my party, I want you to come out and I want you to parade yourself around everybody so they would know that I have this beautiful queen and I want them to see her. She looked at him and said, I wish I would. Paraphrasing, folks. In other words, you wonder, I ain't doing that. So I'm just letting you know that she says, it ain't happening. No. I have decency and I'm not allowing you to parade me around. I'm not allowing you to make me your entertainment. I'm not going to be your entertainment and I won't do it. So she stayed in. Well, the thing about it is that when you have a wife that absolutely, you know, defies what you do, you got to try to show you your manliness. And, and plus the other people in the kingdom, the other men, they were talking stuff. They're like saying, man, she dissed you, man. She played you to the left. I can't believe you going to let her do you like that, dude? What? He's like, no, man, I don't let her do me like that. I ain't no punk. Then he rises up. He rises up. We'll make a decree. And he says that every woman or wife has to be subject to their master, meaning their husband. And it didn't go so well because he was actually doing it in a situation out of anger, and he was a spoiled king. And here's what I want you to know, that in the midst of this, God is somehow still working behind the scene. Yes, sir. Glory to your name. Can I let you know that point number one is God has a plan for our lives? Even when things change, even when someone tries to demote us, God still has a plan for our life. Do you believe that? Really, do you believe that? So Esther, in the midst of all that she was going through, and even not having a father and not having a mother in her life, God was raising up someone else. And who would he raise but her relative? Her relative's name was Mordecai. Mordecai was a Jew. Esther was a Jew. Again, her Jewish name was Hadassah. And when we see that, when you lose your parents, you need someone to cling to. That's why I believe that the church is so important today. Why? Because we need to be surrogate parents to some people that have lost their parents. Can I get a good amen in the house? I think it's important for us to rise up. Why do I have such a desire to see young people do well? Because someone stepped up when my mom didn't have, you know, her biological parents raising her. Someone stepped up and said, I'd be more than happy to take her. I want to raise her. Man, so I have a heart for people that love people that they aren't even really have, they're not even committed to, or they didn't biologically birth them. That's why I love people that adopt other children. It's amazing. Thank you so much for what you do. We appreciate you. Give them a hand. God bless you. So little beautiful Hadassah, and understand, she was beautiful. She was like something about her, even as a young child. They looked at her and saw that there was something beyond outside beauty. And there's nothing wrong with being beautiful on the outside, but you need to be beautiful on the outside and beautiful on the inside. Can I get a witness? They saw her and raised her up. He brought her into his home, and he taught her the Jewish customs. And it was amazing to recognize that God had a plan for her life, even though she was in the midst of a situation. I even think about some of the latest princesses, Princess Kate and Princess Meghan, the royal wedding. It was some 20, 4 million people watching that. There's something about the story that a person starts with nothing and ends up with something. And now all of a sudden you were a commoner, and now God has changed and caused someone to have a heart for you. And now you have royal blood and they move you into the palace. But isn't that the picture of what God has done for us? That while our sins were scarlet, he turned things around and he died and took our place that we might go to the palace. Are you with me today? Somebody give God a praise in this house. Woof. Thank you, Jesus. So we see that God has a plan for our life, even when we don't understand it, don't necessarily agree with it. Scripture says in the book of Ephesians 2 and 10, it says this: for we are God's masterpiece. One place says workmanship. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do what? Good things that he had planned for us long ago. It didn't say that there weren't going to be challenges on the way to you doing good things. He created you to do good things even though you're in the midst of a challenging situation. And let me let some of you all know right now that, yeah, your story may have started rocky. Yeah, people may have been talking crazy about you, but guess what? The end of the story hasn't been told yet. I don't care what you've been through, what you're going through right now, God is not done with the story. It's not over till it's over. Do be a witness to that. It ain't over till it's over. God's got a plan for my life, and he's got a plan for your life as well. Look what he says in the book of Jeremiah 29 and 11. He says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to do what? To prosper you, not to harm you." Even though you may be hurting right now, that's not God's plan for your life. Not to harm you, but plans to give you a hope and a future. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes I have to embrace that because I have to remind myself that regardless of what's going on, man, God has an amazing plan for my life. You know, and here's the thing is that in the midst of your plan that God has written, thank you, Jesus, in the midst of your struggle sometimes, you don't understand why you're in the midst of a situation, but God gives you, and I wrote this down, you know, we're given divine opportunities to make a difference in life, even in our challenges. We're given divine opportunities, that means God moments, to make a difference in life. And I want you to know that those God moments don't always look like God moments. It may not seem like that at the time, but God says, no, I still want to use even the pain that you're dealing with. I didn't cause the pain, but I'm going to use it. So somehow for God to get the glory. Thank you, God. And for you to make a difference in life because someone else needs to hear your story. That's one of the things that I tell you the truth, that some of the people of God, if we would do this, if we would learn how to open our mouths and tell people how far God brought us, I think it would make a huge difference in other people's lives. Because you weren't always where you are. You didn't always have the suit that you have. You didn't always have enough money to do your hair. Didn't always have enough money to have nails. And guys didn't have enough money to do a fade. Can I get a witness in the house? You didn't always have enough money to buy expensive tennis shoes. But God has turned some things around, elevated you, turned some things around on your behalf. Are you with me today? And that's why I'll never act snooty, never act all funny. No, thank you, God, for what you've done for me. Mordecai is given an opportunity. The scripture says in the book of Esther 2 and 21, it says, now, one day that Mordecai was on duty at the king's gate, you know, God found favor, he found favor with Mordecai. Now Mordecai's at the king's gate. And he says, two of the eunuchs were there and they were guarding the door of the king's private quarters. They were supposed to be there guarding. And eunuchs means that they have no ability to reproduce. It means that they had been neutered, that they were no longer potent. I'll just stop at that. And it says, the Bible says, you know, they became angry at King Xerxes and plotted to assassinate him. Now, Mordecai happened to be around, and sometimes, folks, you know, you're just in different places, and you're not necessarily, not because you're trying to ear hustle, you just hear because you're there, right? You hear because you happen to be there. It says, but Mordecai did what? Next verse says, Mordecai heard about the plot and gave the information to Queen Esther. And the Bible says that Mordecai was given credit for it, and it was on the report of the Chronicles. And they save all that stuff. So let me take you to this passage that I think will bless you. In the book of the second chapter, the first verse, it says this. This is after after Vashti had been demoted, if you will, and man, I could go somewhere on that, but I want to stay in good graces. But I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking, this queen said, I ain't doing that. And the dude said, you're supposed to love, honor, and obey. Well, I ain't obeying no foolishness. Yeah, so I'll obey you as you follow Christ. But are you following Christ? Nah. Reminds me, the sister said, hey, she said, she came. I said, I was getting ready to do their wedding ceremony. And I said, you know, here are the vows. The vow says, you know, love, honor, and obey. Because I like to see women's expression, you know, when you say the obey part. And she gave me an expression. She said, Pastor, you might as well take that out. She goes, I ain't going to obey him. I just be standing up there lying. I ain't going to lie in front of you. I thought it was kind of funny. We prayed that they would both get it together. Hallelujah, though. I ain't lying. Just telling you the truth. But here's what the passage says. It says when the king's personal attendant, this is after he had demoted Vashti, he says, I want you to go out and I want you to search for the most beautiful young virgins of the kingdom. He says, let the king appoint commissioners in every province of his realm to bring these beautiful women into the harem of the city of Susa. Let them place them in the care of Haggai, the king's eunuch, and he was over the women for a reason because he couldn't, So he put them in charge of the women and let them have beauty treatments. Wouldn't you all like to have beauty treatments? This was a year's, how can you get that much treatment? Now, after you come out of a year's treatment, you need to be looking like something. You've been in treatment for a year. Come on now. They've been bathing you, putting ointment on you. You ought to be oozing lotion. Hallelujah. Man, but that sounds pretty good. I had one massage not longer. And man, I'm just telling you what, there's something about massages. Bless you. Can you imagine? They were feeding them all the right things, the Bible says. And the Bible says after they came, now understand, this is the princess story, because just like the wicked sisters and all of them, they didn't want Cinderella to come to the parade. But anyway, she comes, and guess who catches the eye of the king? Hadassah. All the other women in the kingdom, but this woman captivates you. What is it about her? Is it her drop-dead beauty? Is it the combination of her being beautiful and anointed and God-chosen? Sometimes God will put you in places. He will make people have favor on you. He will give you supernatural favor. And they'll say, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I am just so drawn to you. There's something about you. The same thing happened to the king. He looked at her and says, wow, I want in my harem. In fact, I want you to give her 7 maidens to care for her. Can you imagine going? Can you imagine going from being an orphan to having someone take you in to ending up in the kingdom? My God. And then as the story goes on, she's there, she's enjoying herself. She's, you know, feeling the very presence of God being with her and God doing a work in her life. The Bible says that the king had favor upon her to the point he says, I want to make her, out of all people, my queen. While she's there, I like this part. Man, he just begins to pour upon her, but you know there's going to be a villain coming. Every time, and you always know this, when God blesses you, the next thing in line is a villain. You remember the Bible says in the book of Genesis 2, it talks about the very fact that, you know, Adam and Eve were together, they were in the garden, and the Bible says that they were, the two became one flesh, and they were naked and they felt no shame. The very next verse says, now Satan was more subtle than any other beast of the field. It goes from the second chapter of Genesis to Genesis 1, now Satan. Can I let you know that when you get blessed, the next thing on your list is what? Now Satan. That's why the Bible tells you, y'all got quiet on that. I just want you to know that you're not going to tiptoe through the tulips without a challenge. It's not going to happen, no. You know, I want you to know that the Bible lets us know that we can be of good cheer because the Bible says that Jesus says, I have overcome the world. But these things are still good. Many are the, help me out. But the Lord shall what? They're coming, but you've got to recognize that God is with you in the very midst of it. So this villain comes, and what's this villain's name? His name is Haman. And that sounds like a villain name. Like when we was coming, it'd be Simon Bar Simister. It would be Brutus. That's Popeye, y'all. But there's always a Simister, and this individual came on the scene, and he had a hatred for Jews, and partially because this Jew, Mordecai, would not bow down to him. And I don't know about you, but I'm not bowing down to any mess anyway. Are you with me today? Mordecai bowed. Nah, I'm cool. I'll take a pass. I ain't bowing down to you, dude. I know you got your position and you think you all that in the political hierarchy, but I'm not bowing down. And therefore, he came against Mordecai with a whole lot of strength. And the thing about this guy's name, his name was Haman, but he was a Haggite, which actually we get that name, the references from 1 Samuel. And 1 Samuel begins 15, I believe. It talks about that this was the enemy of the people of God and the Jews especially. So this had gone back. It's something like when you have the Hatrocks and the McCoys, they've been battling for years and years and they still don't have it together. And one don't like you just because you related to somebody else. And truth be known is that they were supposed to take them out then, but they didn't take them out. Saul was supposed to kill Agag, but did not, and let some of the people live. And then Samuel came along, and what did he do? He rammed Agag, but this was an Agagite. So that means a descendant of Agag. So you messed up, you messed with my relatives, and now I'm got a chance, I'm going to mess with y'all Jews. So he made a decree, anyone of Jewish descent, and after the party, they did another party, and next thing you know, he says, anyone of Jewish descent, guess what? We're going to kill him, and we're going to roll dice to come up with the day we're going to kill him. Isn't the devil nasty? Try to act like he bold, said, this is when we're going to take you out. So you got time to think about before. You like the people that used to talk about beating you up at school at 3:15, it's on. You had time to be nervous. This bully talked so much stuff that he said that we're going to wipe out or annihilate the Jews. And that's why I pray today, folks, that even in our life that, you know, I don't understand why there's so much hatred and anti-Semitism now, that someone would be so full of anger and rage they would go into a Jewish synagogue and shoot there and kill people or enter into another area or even a church to kill people. I want you to know that God loves us all. Can I get a witness in this place? Hallelujah. So sometimes we must stand with courage for the people that God loves, because God loves the folks that he loves. He loves us all, and even in the midst of our issues and situations, and even in the midst of difficulties and bondage, God always sends a deliverer. Can I share this with you? I believe without a doubt that God has given us opportunity today in Springfield and at Abundant Faith to impact lives. I believe without a doubt that God is calling us to rise up in this hour. Why? Because there are people dying. There are people that are being abused. There are people that need someone to stand with them because they don't know how to stand on their own. And sometimes we are in positions to help people, but we forget where we've come from. I think now all those that are on the street corner on drugs and in gangs, and those that are even struggling in so many areas, even with self-hatred to the point of even wanting to commit suicide, they need somebody. Somebody needs to stand with courage to stand for people that God loves. Are you with me today? We were in Africa not long ago, and yeah, there's hunger there, and we, the people of God, we have so much. Somebody needs to stand with courage for the people that God loves. Somebody give God a praise in this house. Woo! And I know it can be challenging. I know it can be challenging, but God wants us to rise up and he wants us to stand, because courage is not always easy. And the Bible tells us that as Mordecai came back to her, gave her information about what's going on, he was actually fasting. And the Bible says that as he was fasting in sackcloth and ashes, you know, Esther in her palace, she sends word out. That's Mordecai. Y'all hook Mordecai up. Do me a favor. Send him clothing and send him food so he can be okay. And then Mordecai sent word back to Esther, you missed it. I'm not out here because I'm hungry, because I don't have food to eat. I'm not out here because I don't have clothes to wear. I'm fasting and praying before God. And he says, send her message back and say that I'm okay, but there's been a decree, and the decree is that all Jews be killed and annihilated, and tell, remind her that she is a Jew. Because sometimes we can be in a place of comfort and forget where we came from. Sometimes we can be in a place of comfort and people looking at us and singing our praise, but no, you came from somewhere. And the truth be known is that if you're not careful, because you don't speak up, because you don't open your mouth and declare what God says, you'll end up losing your life, your family's life, and the life of the people in the community. Are you with me today? Could it be, just a question, could it be that God is speaking to us today as a church body? Saying that, yeah, you're saved now, but, you know, the thing is that you can't stay in the church palace. Can I preach today? There's somebody out there that they need deliverance, but so you can't be satisfied sitting in the church palace. You can't be satisfied just having a good time and just dancing and shouting on your way to heaven when your people are on the outside dying and going to hell. You can't do it. How can you just be satisfied with just the outward appearance, and you've got your outfit on, you just got your massage, you're smelling good, but there's somebody else out there that's ready to lose their life? The church has to rise up. We've got to hear the voice of God and go out there and impact the world. Somebody give God a shout in this place. Thank you, God. But folks, it takes courage. Why? Because there are people that are looking on the outside, and she had to stand there and say, well, I might lose what I have. And you know, and then someone said, well, you know, what would they say? And she had been keeping things a secret. I tell y'all, all the folks that tell these ethnic jokes, you know, and talk about, I tell them all, when they come to me with ethnic jokes, don't bring that here. Because the thing about it is, you talk about the joke, you know, with me today, but thing is, you'll go to somebody else and you'll flip it and you'll just use a different group of people. So I already know, don't come over here with that foolishness. Because I really know what's in your heart. Are you with me today? So he had to remind her that they may be telling jokes about the Jews, but truth be known, you quiet about it and you're beautiful and everything. Your beauty has gotten you in some places. But guess what? You actually are a Jew still. And can I just hit you with this, sisters, while you're in the house? There's nothing wrong with being beautiful. There's nothing wrong with God using your beauty for his glory. Am I okay? Y'all got quiet on that. God didn't make you beautiful for nothing, right? Y'all still not getting it? When I was coming up in my teens, one of the reasons I wanted to come to church, I didn't used to want to go, but then when I started getting in my early teens, man, they had some beautiful girls at the church. Man, I was going just for sightseeing. Hallelujah. And there's nothing wrong with sightseeing until God does something in your life. I'm just being real. Y'all don't like me, but I'm being truthful. Hallelujah. None of y'all don't come to see what's going on. Y'all don't see. Y'all come to glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm saying everybody that come to church, they're not saved. Something going to get them there. And sometimes good-looking people will do that. Y'all don't like me today, but I'm preaching good anyway. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm just saying now, there's nothing wrong with being beautiful on the outside, but you need to back it up with something beautiful on the inside. Your inside needs to be more beautiful than even on the outside. And when I heard the girls talking, I said, I love God with all my heart. I'm saying, y'all serious about this? Teenagers. In fact, not only do I love God with all my heart, I'm saving myself for my husband. I was thinking like, shuck it, duck it, quack, quack. Saving yourself for your husband, where you get that from? I was like, that's what I'm talking about. How many today, if we saw people that are beautiful on the outside and loving God with all their hearts, it becomes attractive. Can I get a witness? The world would want to come in and see that very same thing. Somebody bless him real good. He's God. So she is faced with this situation. One, should I follow God? And some of us are in similar situations even right now, and I'm praying about that because, you know, what do I do, God? I know what I need to do, but what I need to do is not necessarily the most, the best decision for me, per se. In fact, if I go in to see the king without being announced, without him welcoming me or asking me to come, he could take my life. But if I don't go, it means the life of all of my people. What do I do? So she comes to this point, and I think all of us have to come to this point. If I perish, let me perish. If I die, let me die. But let me take you to this next point because I think it kind of paints a picture of this. He says, so she did this, which blesses me. The Bible says she called her other Jewish friends and she sent this word back to Mordecai. I said, Mordecai, tell my other Jewish friends to join me in fasting. We want to fast and pray. Because here's what happens. When we fast and pray, our attention focuses on God and not on the what ifs. Because the what ifs can, what if he kills me? What if he is angry? What if he's in a, man, don't you know that God sets things up for you? All you've got to do is follow his plan, his purpose. He sets things up for you. All you got to do is walk with him in faith. I want you, some of you all right now are in a situation, you say, what if I say no? And I don't know why I'm on this note, but some even, although last night was prom, other folks will have another prom next weekend. What if I tell him no tonight on this prom night? What if he, you know, tells me he doesn't want to be my boyfriend anymore? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. But what if he says, what a mighty woman of God. What, that's the kind of woman that I want to marry one day. A lot of what ifs. Are you with me? So I want you to know that you can't allow the what ifs to stop you from walking in what God has called you to walk in. We're getting ready to open a men's house again. I don't know if we call it that, but James and I have been talking about it for a while. But this month, we'll have our first person that will be in the reentry program. We're pretty excited about it. And you can give that a hand. That's a good place to praise God. But what if the neighborhood is not receptive? What if the church is not receptive if someone says, well, I've got a history? Well, you've got to get beyond the what ifs. What if they say, not in my backyard? I want you to know that our ministry started in such a way that we had a whole lot of people from Gateway and a whole lot of people from the Triangle Singer at the time. And we would pick them up and bring them in. And someone said, well, they just got a bunch of people from Gateway and Triangle Singer. I said, what business is it of yours? They need to get to know God. I remember one of the guys, Stanley, you know, we not only did he come and change his life, but he began to work sound for us. And when I remember seeing him, he struggled in some areas. But to see what God, you know, we only look at things from the outside, but God sees on the inside. And when God got done with him, you talk about somebody witnessing for God. You talk about somebody working for God. You talk about somebody testing and giving his whole life for the very purpose of God. We've got to reach those people because they will reach other people. Why? Because their testimony talks about the deliverance of God. Somebody give him a good praise in this house. Thank you, Jesus. So Esther, Hadassah, what are you going to do? What do I need to do? I need to say, you know, put the what ifs out of my mind, and I'm going to say, if I perish, let me perish. Can I also let you know this? There will be opportunities for you. There will be someone that says, you know, if you will, there'll be God moments for you. You know God is prompting you. Witness to that individual. God, what if he don't receive it? No, but what if he does? God will give you opportunity to say, you know, stop and talk to them. It's amazing that everyone that God's ever told me to talk to, they were somehow receptive. Maybe not that day, but they were receptive, because one particular time, God says, stop right now, what are you doing? Turn around, go to this house. I'm like saying, God, I ain't trying to go to nobody's house. I ain't trying to go to nobody's house. And as he said, turn around. So I stopped the car, turned around. I was getting ready to knock on the door. They were standing at the door. Said, come on in, open the door. Sit me at the table, and said they wanted me to share with them what we were doing ministerially, what you're doing in the community, and want you to pray for me, so forth and so on. And then, by the way, here's a check for several thousand dollars to do what God has called you to do. I said, God, thank you for this. I'm letting you know you can't walk past the what ifs. Some of you are in a what if situation right now. Can I just encourage you to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might? Don't let the what if stop you from moving forward in what God. Some of you are in the process of thinking about going back to school. Well, what if I don't pass? Well, what if you don't even sign up? I'm going to say this too. Hallelujah. I don't know if I'm in trouble or not. Hallelujah. Some of y'all says, well, I believe this is the one that God has for me, but what if we don't do well, and what if we end up fighting and fussing? You know, join the crowd. Hallelujah. I'm nice. I should say it like that. Every now and then, come on, somebody. Ain't gonna always be perfect. Can I get a witness? Woo! I better move on. She says, join me in fasting and prayer, and focus your attention not on the what is, but focus your attention upon the things of God. Well, they begin to pray. They begin to seek God's face. And then God began to turn things around. There's a turnaround point. God always remembers what you do. When God begins to deal with the king, the king is sleeping. After Haman is planning on killing Jews the very next day, look how God works things out. God deals with the king while he's sleeping. He can't sleep. So he says, you know, bring me the Chronicles. So he begins to read the Chronicles at night because he can't sleep. Folks, it ain't no accident. It's not by happenstance, not by chance. He begins to read the Chronicles. He says, oh, you know, what should I do? I remember this guy saved my life. He saved my life. I was going to get assassinated, but this guy saved my life. And he begins to say, what should we do for someone that saves the king's life? Mordecai thinks he's talking about him. Haman thinks he's talking about him, but he's talking about Mordecai. So the next day, Haman, who built a gallows to kill Mordecai, just before he announces it, the king says, oh, I had a dream. I did some things. You know, we got to do something real special for the people that saved my life. He's thinking he's talking about him. He says, oh, Mordecai, parade him around, take him around. Let's just celebrate him. Haman almost loses it. Can you imagine the one that you wanted to kill? God says, I'm elevating. Can I let you know some people in your life that want to kill you, but they can't stop you, they can't hinder you? God will elevate. How many of you believe that for real? God will elevate you. He will open doors no man can shut. Thank you, God. He's parading him around, and Haman can't hardly stand it. It's the man that I'm trying to kill. Now I'm parading around. Follow this. He goes to him. He goes to the king, and the king, they're having another banquet, and they do a lot of banquets and eating, kind of like today. We just go to Golden Corral. So. But now Esther is there. They're at the table. And now watch how God turns things around. They're at the table talking, and she begins to tell her king, you know, there's been a decree that says that all Jews should be annihilated. And by the way, Your Majesty, I'm a Jew. You are. Who wants to kill the Jews? Him. He falls at her feet, begins to beg. He says, not only do you want to kill her, but now you insult her in front of me. He says, put him on the very same, very gallows that he was going to kill Mordecai. Take his life. Can I let you know that God knows how to protect you? He knows how to provide for you. He knows how to turn things around on your behalf. Somebody give God some praise in this place.